You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to Comic Book Club. I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
I'm Pete.
And we got a special episode for you today with two special guests. I'm very excited to talk to them about the new book, Bug Wars, which is out today, February 12th. Ladies and gentlemen, Jason Aaron and Mahmood Asrar, welcome. Jason and Mahmood.
Thanks for having us, guys.
Very excited to have you here. Very excited to talk about the book. And I'm going to put a spoiler warning up here. If people haven't picked it up, definitely go pick up the book. It's amazing. Read it. We are going to get into spoilers in a little bit. But this is a six-issue series that I guess I've been likening to, it's sort of like Honey, I Shrunk the Kids meets Lord of the Rings. Would you say that's
interesting?
Close at all, Jason?
Yeah, I mean, I've said Honey, I Shrunk the Kids meets Game of Thrones, just to give you the idea. This is, you know, it's a bit darker and more violent. It is a, you know, pretty mature reader's book.
But we're going honey forward. I call Honey, I Shrunk the Kids
honey forward.
Shorthand.
We'll talk about a little bit about the genesis of the book. Did this come from both of you talking? Did it come from Jason, Mahmood? Where was the start of this?
Yeah, I mean, the book definitely came from us talking and working together on Conan the Barbarian and King Conan for Marvel, and having a blast doing a fantasy book, and just started talking about doing something of our own. And we both love the idea of doing an original dark fantasy series. And I had kind of this kernel of an idea that really goes back to when I was 10 years old. One of the first comics I read off the spinner rack was Sword of the Atom, which if you've never read Sword of the Atom, it's, you know, the Atom gets shrunk at like the size of a Barbie doll and is stranded in the jungles of Brazil and finds this hidden city of tiny alien barbarian warriors who ride frogs and, you know, feed prisoners to rats. And I love that. That story really sparked in my brain as a kid. And I think that was kind of the first inkling of, like, I like stories about tiny adventures, you know, living in the walls of your house, living in secret, these kind of the idea that sort of fantastic adventure could lie, you know, right outside your doorstep. And the yard of Bug Wars, the yard where the story takes place is based on the yard I played in when I was 10 years old.
Oh, like, wow.
Straight up the same house, same backyard, same woods, like everything's based on, you know, where I ran around playing with sticks and He-Man figures and making up all these stories in my head.
Now, Mahmood, I assume you didn't grow up with Jason. Did he send you reference? I mean, maybe you did. I don't want to assume anything. But did he send you reference of his backyard, or how did
he
you
could
actually
have lived across the street or something?
It's possible. I don't know.
He actually literally found like pictures from Google Earth, you know, of the house, and sent me some pictures and described me how it was, you know, like, you know, how it was when he was a kid and how it is now. Apparently the house changed since then, but it's essentially remained the same. So yeah, I had that kind of actual real life reference and all the information from Jason, you know. So that was a good start. But yeah, I also drew from my own experiences, you know, despite living in very different parts of the world, you know, growing up, you know, like, you know, I also played in the garden and, you know, I had my imagination run wild and stuff like that. So like,
there are bugs everywhere.
So we had that kind of, you know, I guess, synergy in that regard. So like, in bringing this to life.
Jason, I was reminded as soon as I opened this of your Weird World work. And I remember when that was coming out, I feel like your excitement was so clear in that. And I felt that again. Has this been like, it feels like it's a lifelong quest to get into the this sort of barbarian world.
For sure. Yeah. I mean, this is weirdly, I mean, you wouldn't expect me to say this about a book that's about tiny bug-sized barbarians, but this is maybe the most personal book I've ever written. And so much of the roots of it do go back to that 10-year-old kid. And I think that those years of the comics I was reading, the books I was reading, like discovering Robert E. Howard and Conan around that age and playing in that backyard, I think were so formative for me in all sorts of ways and defining my tastes for, you know, 40 years to come. I really think the beginning of me wanting to write and wanting to be a storyteller goes back to that yard and those woods. And fantasy stories were a huge part of that. Like I said, I think it was discovering Conan for the first time, plus comics like Crystar, the Crystal Warrior, you know, who I brought back in Weird World and all the fantasy books like Orion, Lord of Atlantis from DC back in the day, and Claw the Unconquered, all these like forgotten gems of fantasy books. Like I loved all that stuff. So I think the Weird World, I think, was the first time you probably saw me do something that was more overt fantasy. Yeah. Uh-huh. And then of course, you know, Mahmood and I do, and Conan was a big deal for me. But as we've started to work on Bug Wars, and we've been working on it for a few years now, I love it so much. I love the world building of it. You know, I mean, I got to do some of that during Thor too, right? Like I spent 100 issues kind of exploring all these different Norse realms and you know, who lived there, the light elves and the dark elves and the Jotuns and all that stuff. I loved all that kind of stuff. But as we're doing Bug Wars now, I'm like, why did I wait 20 years into my comic book career before doing a creator-owned fantasy book? Because it feels like I've kind of been primed for this for, you know, since I was a child.
Wow.
Go ahead.
I have a couple questions, but I also want to just geek out at you for a minute if I can, and just say thank you so much for all your work. I'm a huge fan. I'm also trying to stare at that nerd wall behind you and pick up any little hints of.
You're trying to stare there.
Yeah. So thank you aside, does that mean, because we're in your backyard and we get kind of like a younger kid as the main character, does that mean that is you?
No, I mean, I think, you know, I think there's some of me in that. I think there's some of my son in there. You know, I think Mahmood will tell you that there's some of him and his son in there too. So I think it's not a direct stand-in for me. Even though the yard is, like, I can, the best part of basing it on the yard I played in is that I can picture it vividly, right? Even all these years later, I know every kind of inch and corner of that yard. And I think that, to me, like, anything I'm working on is always better the more kind of clarity I have about it, like the clarity of vision in terms of, like, what does this landscape look like? What do the characters look like? What do they sound like? What music am I listening to when I'm working on it? What are the influences that feed on into it? I think, to me, like, the more sense of clarity I have about the thing, the better. And I feel like, especially since Mahmood and I have been working on this for, like I said, a couple of years, I feel like I have a pretty profound sense of clarity about this world, even though with these six issues, this is book one. Like, we're still kind of just getting started to how we want to explore this landscape.
Now, you had mentioned the world building. For anybody listening who hasn't read the book, though, again, go read it, because we're going to be talking spoilers here. It involves two brothers and a mother, the Slaymaker family that are moving back to their childhood home where the father died years earlier. And over the course of the book, it becomes clear that something weird with bugs is happening in the backyard. And by the end, the younger brother has been shrunken down into this magical, mystical world in the backyard and joined the bugs. But even at the beginning of the book, I was really impressed how simply you lay out, oh, these are the sort of bugs, these are the insects, these are the arachnids that you're going to find in your backyard, and then breaking them up, like you're saying, into these different Game of Thrones houses. from both the writing and the art perspective, how much of the initial work, sort of the Bible building, went into that aspect of the book? Because I have to imagine it was very important to get that right.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I don't know. Do you want to take that one first, Mahmood?
Jason has, as he said, he had obviously a lot of clarity in, you know, describing this world and bringing this story to life in his words. And the rest was a lot of research on both of our parts and, you know, like him about how the science and things work about this and me more about the visual side of it. So we did a lot of research and, you know, like that was a lot of preliminary work in bringing this world to life. So all of that went into the pages as we went along, you know, and designing everything from, you know, like all, and this all, you know, in, you know, when we're researching these insects and everything, these also bring ideas into the story and how to, you know, apply things into our story. So that's how we, I guess, you know, initiated everything, right?
Yeah. I think it's been a process, right? Like, I think when we first started talking, I had ideas of, like you said, they're kind of different sects within the yard. You know, they're sort of the tiny people are called mites. And the mites, you know, there's some of them who live with the spiders and some of them who live with the beetles and some with the ants. And so they're all divided into kind of different tribes. But as we, and I kind of knew, you know, like the beetle people are more like barbarians and the ant people are more like the Roman Empire. And the guys who ride the wasp are kind of like Vikings. And the maggot monks are the creepy religious freaks. But yeah. we just kind of had these sort of general ideas. And then as Mahmood came on and started doing designs for all those characters. I love the designs for the ant mites because they became more kind of part mite, part ant. So the, you know, that tells you there's some bug fucking going on among the people.
I knew it.
Well, some of them, they all have antenna and some of them have like four arms. So then, you know, like we developed the maggot monks who got even creepier and weirder, like once Mahmood drew them. And then from there, we start building things more to where each issue of the book we're doing back matter where I'll write like some pages from one of the characters' journals sort of about the different tribes. So you get, like in this first issue, you get kind of a few pages about the Ant Imperium. So just sort of telling you, like really pretty in-depth about the society of these guys. So by that point, I'm writing like, you know, what is it like? What are the different what's the class structure of this sect? And what is child rearing like? And how long do they live? And all that sort of stuff. So it's, again, it's just been, I did not start the book with all that, like that fleshed out. It's been a process combined with, you know, the writing and the Mahmood's drawings to kind of build that world and flesh it out.
Yeah, finally, some respect for the maggot world. Really changing the way I'm going to look at those.
Oh, the
guys.
Maggot guys are pretty cool.
Well, I want to say on the art side, Mahmood, I feel like over the course of reading this, makes sense. The bug world is like scary. There's a battle here that is like tragic at its end. But I actually found that the more human side of the story was more stressful and scary. And I wanted to, and it felt like the art was really driving that. Can you talk about how you made that equally terrifying as the bug battles?
Well, yeah, that's a good point. The bug wars, I mean, the title, the actual wars between the bugs, it's like a bit more literal and it's, you know, like visceral and everything's going on, you know, like it's all visual, you know, like all these things happening and everything. It's you know, like what you expect happens there. But, you know, like when you have such stress at home, that's a bit more psychological and stuff like that. You know, like there's a story behind all the stuff that happens here, you know, like why people are behaving the way they do in the book, you know. And that's a lot of, you know, like tension between the family members. And I guess we go through all of that, you know, like we draw from that from real life and bring that into our book in some ways, I guess. So, you know, I think despite being such an epic story and such a little world that we're telling, I think the heart of the story lies in all the family stuff that's going on in the story. And, you know, and I wanted to give that equal or even maybe more importance when I'm drawing that, you know, so like all that emotion and everything, you know, like came into play, you know, like, so that was the driving, I guess, aspect, I would say, you know.
I do want to talk about the family in a second, but first, bouncing off of what Justin's saying in terms of terrifying, there is a page 2/3 of the way through here, I want to say, where you find out what happened to the father in the family.
God, yeah.
I mean, there's so many things that I'd be curious to hear about from that. But my impression reading the book, because you're expecting, we're going to go on a magical adventure with some bugs. Oh, the dad, he's lost somewhere in the backyard and we're going to find him. And we cut to this page and like, nope, he's been eviscerated by insects. From the story perspective, why was this important? And Mahmood, just in terms of like getting that right, getting that page flip, that absolute horror right, what was that like?
I mean, the thing is like starting out with this project with Jason, what one of the first things we talked about is like we want to do what we couldn't have done in other stuff that we worked on before in the mainstream or whatever. So like, if there was going to be something violent happening, we wanted to show it, you know, and, you know, to depict how it goes and stuff like that. So that was the starting point. And, you know, when something like that comes up in a story, you know, Jason writes, you know, the dad, this happens to dad and whatever. When you read it, okay, you think about it in your mind and whatever, and then it can be horrifying and, you know, like, you know, very literal in some senses. But, you know, when I have to put it onto paper, then it becomes something else. And I have to imagine all the innards and whatever, you know, like, and how to show it in such a way that it is dramatic and also scary and also literal, you know. So, yeah, it was a challenge in some senses because I get squeamish, so I don't...
Oh, wow.
I don't really look at reference about, you know, like real violent stuff. So I have to imagine and look at, you know, anatomy stuff and stuff like that when working things out like this. But, yeah, I do love, you know, the sort of horror aspect of our book, you know, like because there is some scenes where it really gets dark. And things like this, you know, like and you, we don't usually get to do this most of the time. At least I didn't, you know. So getting to play with that is it's one of the fun parts of the book, I feel.
Yeah, I think this is a fantasy story. It's a horror story. It's like a, you know, backwoods Alabama family drama. It's kind of all those things in equal parts. And we did, I mean, kind of right out of the gate, even before we get to that page, you're talking about in issue one, you know, the opening scenes are this really epic, intense battle scene that's, you know, pretty violent and bloody. And there's, you know, butt naked beetle riders running around killing ant people. So we wanted to show you right out of the gate, like, you know, it's got war in the title of the book for a reason, right? Like, this is not a kid's book. The main character is a kid, but this is not a book to let
Bugs Life type of thing. This is, yeah.
Exactly. It's that.
It's more like ants than Bugs Life.
Little, also a little darker than ants.
Yeah, I would say a lot darker than ants. Yeah.
Not as weird in some ways as ants, but
I thought the bug fucking stuff in ants was really good.
Well, wait till you see our bug fucking.
Oh man, buckle up.
You'll get there. But I, you know, this is the kind of setup and story that normally you would see in kids' stories, but we're doing, you know, the Garth Ennis version of that, like the darker version. And part of that is, you know, insects are one of these things I think a lot of us are kind of fascinated by and also terrified of, you know. To me, it's a little like I have the same relationship with the ocean and the things that that live in there. Right. Like I've got a beetle tattoo on my arm, but you know, if one of these like giant 6-inch long stag beetles was like crawling on my desk, I wouldn't be real happy about that, I think. So part of the book is knowing and respecting the fact that there's you know, like a billion insects on the face of the earth for every single one of us, and that's those numbers even more skewed once you add in spiders to the mix, right? Oh, so God. So when
I'm freaking out.
I'm like, oh man, I never thought about it like that.
So I mean, that's the world Slaymaker is walking into, you know, even though it's his backyard, it's literally the backyard of his house in a small town in Alabama. Like, this yard is filled with the weirdest and deadliest insects from around the globe. Not to mention all these tiny sword wielding mites. But there's a bigger picture involved. Again, this is book one's kind of the beginning of that story. And I feel like it's a story with the beginning, middle, and end in this first volume, and it takes us on a tour around the yard, and you get to meet kind of the six main tribes of mites. But this is not the end of the story, and there's still plenty of questions left unanswered, you know, by the time we get to issue six.
As you mentioned, go ahead, Justin.
I was gonna say, to your point about bugs, I was like, God, Sydney, that you're being such a villain. I was like, oh, I would do that though too. I think.
And Sydney's had a tough experience with insects. Like you said, like, he was the one who found his dad ripped apart by bugs. So you could understand his anger. But I don't want to say too much. It's spoilers for issue two, but. The what Slade winds up fighting for in a very real way is his fight in the yard is to save his family.
I mean, let's talk about that family then. Their names, as you mentioned, the younger kid, the main one we're following right now, is Slade Slaymaker. We got Sid Slaymaker and their mother. I think with the book first came out, I'm paraphrasing here, but I saw somebody post about Slade Slaymaker. This name is too cool. Comics.
Slaymaker sounds like I made it up, but that's actually the name of what's the name of my son's pediatrician, Dr. Slaymaker. It's one of those things, you know, like, as a writer, you're kind of always writing.
Looking.
So you're always just like, I'm going to tuck that one away. Like, I'll use that somewhere down the line.
I had a dermatologist named Dr. Terrible. And
is that
like,
true?
That is 100% true. And he was like, it's actually terrible. I was like, okay. I'm sorry. Spelled terrible.
It's actually Frankenstein.
Yeah. Like, that doesn't make me feel better.
Beyond the fact that it is a very cool name, what was important there? Like, what was important to capture the character of Slade? What was important to capture the character of Sid?
I mean, brother relationship. I mean, my siblings are all quite a bit older than me, so I think I probably grew up more like an only child, but I have two older brothers who are about the same age. So I grew up watching them beat the shit out of each other all the time, like, never got along. So I think, you know, Sid has real issues and anger issues and mental health issues that he's struggling with. But he's a bully to his little brother, and his little brother, Slade, is a nerdy kid, awkward kid, a guy who's more comfortable around insects than he is other humans. But then to be put us in a situation where it's like, oh, he's got to go and fight this fight, not just to get back home to escape the dangers of the yard, but his family are the ones who are really in danger.
You mentioned he's a nerdy kid, and one of the things that visually I was very surprised about, and pleasantly so, which I don't think you see a lot with nerds in comic books, is he has pimply skin. Slade has pimply skin. Like, he has, it's just not good skin, and a lot of us growing up had skin like that. How was that something you played around with at all, Mahmood, or was that just sort of par?
It was actually Jason's idea, so, you know, like, and he said it, and, you know, cool, let's go with it. You know, like, we never see that in comics, as you said, you know, so, and, you know, why not? You know, I think it would be a good thing, you know, like, represent the people who had problems like this. I had issues, you know, so, like, you know, why not the person in a comic book, you know, so I'm glad we put that in there. Hopefully, you know, it will get noticed, as you say, and, you know, people will enjoy the idea.
Yeah, for as many kids who kind of, you know, that's a part of their teenage years. You don't see that represented, right? Because we just want our characters to look cute. So yeah, I liked doing that too, and kind of what it tells you about Slade. I mean, again, this is a book that is kind of equal parts, like leaning into the outrageousness of the idea, but also there's a real heart to it, I feel like, as you got to do with any these kinds of stories. If it's all just outrageous bug guys punching each other, at the end of the day, we don't really care as much. But it is very much, you know, the Slade's personality and the his family and the drama there are such a huge driving force through the book, even when he's running around, you know, being chased by wasp-riding Vikings and creepy maggot monks.
Now, I know the first issue is just out, and like you said, you don't necessarily want to spoil what's coming up, but what potentially can you tease about book one of Bug Wars?
By the end of issue one, like, Slade has shrunk down and lost in the yard and has wandered into bug wrestler territory, so he's getting captured by some of the beetle riders. So he gets taken to Swarm City, which is sort of, it's like Mos Eisley for bugs. It's the, you know, the hive of scum and villainy that's hidden underneath the brush pile in the yard. So it's just sort of swarming with beetles and the beetle barbarians from all across the yard. And of course they've got their version of an arena, which is called the Blood Hole. It's like a, mud hole, but the bloodier. And that's where he'll meet a couple of the other characters will be main characters throughout this book one. One of whom is Wista, who's a spider witch. General Augustfall is one of the, they're like centurions for the ant people, but they're ant people, so they're called Antorians. So they're two of the main characters we'll follow. And then also War Daddy Krim, who's one of the, he's like a swarm lord of the Beetle clan. So we'll meet all those folks in issue two. And then, you know, like this happened to Slade because he touched this amulet, right? That like fused to his chest. It's like stuck to him. And we don't really know beyond shrinking him and him being able to punch a guy's face off at end of issue one. We don't really know anything about that amulet or what it means or why it was hidden in his basement in his dad's old house. So you start to get more of those pieces, and that kind of sets Slade off on a journey that again takes him to the different corners of the yard. I mean, in the barest of terms, he is literally just crossing his own backyard, right? But going from Swarm City to, you know, the hidden temple of the spider witches is a dangerous crossing when you're the size of an insect, because they're all kind of warring tribes
and classic honey territories. Situation.
Exactly. There's the different tribes. There's sort of the wild beasts of the yard, and all these once people kind of know who Slade is and know about that amulet, everybody's hunting him, and everybody kind of wants a piece of him. And again, by the end of issue two, you also understand what's really at stake here and what Slade is having to fight for. Does that cover it? Is there anything I missed?
No, I think that's pretty good.
While we're talking about the end of the book, sorry, Alex, I was shocked.
I was asking Mahmood if there was anything I left out.
Oh, sorry.
Not us. No, I mean, I think that was the general gist of it. But the good thing is, I think, like, with the story that we get to see a lot of the world that we created, you know, so, like, we get a nice tour of what's going on and all kinds of plans and everything. So, like, it's very meaty in that regard, I feel. And it has been really great in terms of enjoyment for me in depicting this, because I get to play and create so many things in everywhere, you know, even in that Swarm City. There are so many parts of the neighborhoods, we could call them, and stuff, and even different temples or buildings or areas and stuff like that. And then when we're outside, we get to see a lot of other places, other sects and everything. So, you know, we touch on everything, though maybe not go into detail on everything. But it sets the ground for the stuff that we want to do in the future, which is something that we thought was important. So, yeah, it's a lot of stuff going on. And I think we balanced it out really well. And it's a yeah, it's going to be fun.
we're you know, trying to make each issue pretty meaty. Like the first issue is almost double sized. It's like 37, 38 story pages. And then, like I said, there's backup. There'll be back matter in each issue. So this first issue's got a map of the yard. It's got info pages on the Ant Imperium and some of the list of some of the weird real life insects that you'll find in the yard. And we'll do that about a different tribe and a different insect every issue.
Wow.
That's awesome. I was shocked at the end of the issue to find
Slade. About the face punch?
Slade, who is very caring about all the bugs. His first move is to wreck a bug face instantaneously. Is that just the circumstance?
Yeah, I mean, that idea, what you're saying, will actually be, it's a part of the story. I mean, even kind of in the dialogue there, he's saying that he's never punched anybody. He's never been in a fight life before, right? He's just had a tough day. It's been a really tough day for him. And he's angry. And, you know, he tried to kind of fight his brother earlier to stop his brother from killing his own, you know, killing Slade's bugs. And that didn't work out so good. And so he's just hauls off and punches this guy. He doesn't know that his fist is going to go through the guy's face.
Yeah, Justin, he doesn't know.
Ben, he doesn't know, like, what this amulet, you know, the kind of powers this amulet has given him. But that's an ongoing thing. This is a guy who loves bugs, you know? Loves spiders, loves all insects. And now he's put in a situation where they're all trying to kill him, and he has no choice, but he's going to have to fight back.
Has working on this made you all into bugs more or less?
I don't know.
Understanding.
I mean, like I said, I've got a lot of bugs. Oh, there's one right here. I've got a lot of bugs and lucite like around my home.
Creepy.
But as a kid, when I was that 10-year-old kid playing in that yard, I mean, I was always, you know, lifting up rocks to see what was underneath them. As a grown man, no, I don't really do that anymore. That's fine. With like the bugs can stay where they are and I'll stay where I'm at. But I
still bugs.
like I've said, I think in the same way of bugs and sharks are kind of similar to me, similar in that I'm fascinated by them. I just want them to be over there and I'll stay over here.
Cool. I know we're just getting started here with the first issue, but since you have been working on for a couple of years, do you have a thought about how many books it's planned for since this is book one? Is it a trilogy? Then you're going to go to the prequel trilogy, then the sequel trilogy, or how are you handling it?
Interesting pattern, Alex.
Right.
Just throwing that out there. Where did you come up with that? Just my head.
It's sort of counterintuitive when you think about it, unless someone else did.
Yes, we'd love to do all those things. I think I have a lot of ideas. We've talked about a lot of different things. You know, you don't want to get ahead of yourself. Like we've been very much focused on this book one. It's hard, you know, to launch creator owned books. It's these days maybe harder than ever in some ways. There's a lot out there that you're competing with, and it's hard to kind of, you know, get it across to retailers what this is and have them excited and pass that excitement on to fans. Like that's could be a challenging thing for when you're doing a new original idea. So we kind of just been focused on let's do the best book one that we can, and then do the best we can to promote it. And, you know, we've been happy with, I've been really happy with the response so far. But yeah, we have a lot of ideas for what we want to do beyond this. I mean, I think other volumes, kind of other chapters in the story of Slade Slaymaker and his family moving forward. There are also stories that can be told about his father and his father's history and connection to this yard. There are lots of stories I would like to tell that don't have anything to do with the Slaymakers. And they're about the characters that we'll meet in the yard, like some of the mites, like Wista. So yeah, we've talked about kind of ways to do all those things, you know, with other miniseries and other, and this, which is the second volume in my mind is bigger than this one, which was six issues, as well as kind of specials and spinoffs that would focus on some of those other characters. And plus, you know, I wrote a prose story that we did in the ash can that we put out last year at New York Comic Con. I wrote like a short little kind of prequel prose story. That was the first prose I've written since I was in college. So I'll have to do that too. So I'd like to do more of that either as back matter or I don't know. I don't know where you see it. So I think again, like as we've been working on this more and more, and I've been kind of, I think I've had a healthy obsession with this story where I keep going back and tinkering with it and changing. I email Mahmood all the time of like, sorry, I changed the names of the spider witches again. or I changed this character's name for like the fourth time.
Oh, wow.
Just because, you know, searching, like names are hard and names are such an important part of the fantasy and the world building aspect. So like I've fallen down the rabbit hole many times of obsessing over what to call these characters, what to spell, how to spell it.
You just need more pediatricians. That happy. That's what you need.
Exactly.
More
Let me introduce you to my dermatologist.
Dr. Slaymaker and Dr. Terrible team up. But I love that stuff so much that, I mean, I want to do more Bug Wars just for me because I get so much enjoyment out of it.
Yeah, cool. The same thing with Jason. I've been doing with the art, you know, like I've been going back and revising some of the panels, you know, like we've been working on this for a long time now, and we've already, you know, completed the fifth issue, and you know, I'm working on the last issue right now. So there's been some time. I look back and I see I could do stuff better. So like I change some stuff, I tweak here and there, and you know, so I guess it shows our dedication to this project. You know, like we really want it to be good, and it means a lot to us, and that's what we want to do about it. You know.
So basically, what we're saying is the issue you're looking at is the special edition version of
it. Cool. Well,
where'd you come up with that? Just off the.
I don't know. It just came out of just off the top of my dome. Head. I'm a professional writer.
Damn right you are.
Well, guys, this book is great. Congratulations.
Yeah,
I can't
amazing.
Wait to follow this journey through all the prequels and sequels and spinoffs and Disney Plus shows and other things. So congratulations. Looking forward to more Bug Wars.
Thanks, guys.
I'll email you some bug fucking questions, but come back to me whenever you have the time.
Oh, sure. Yeah, just slide into my DMs.
Oh, boy.
Hola, mi gente, te saluda Emanuel González de Mark Wahlberg Auto Group. Somos la agencia más grande de Chevrolet y GMC de todo Columbus, donde encuentras los carros y camionetas nuevos, cero millas al mejor precio. También contamos con más de 800 carros usados de todas las marcas en inventario. Te podemos aprobar con número ITIN y aceptamos identificación o pasaporte de tu país. En Mark Wahlberg te esperamos con los brazos abiertos. Visítanos hoy mismo, 3900 West Broad Street, al oeste de la ciudad, a un lado del casino. Te atendemos completamente en español. Márcanos ya, 833-699-0792.